This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
The Prospect Review Podcast is your source for the latest news and information on the 2014 NFL Draft.
With the 29th pick, the New England Patriots select.
Now here to preview the prospects, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Time now to move our prospect podcast forward, and the best way to move forward is behind a big offensive line, and that's the group of guys we'll be talking about this week.
Very good, Andy.
Dante Scarnecchia is gone, so we will see the first class of players who will be honed and developed in New England under the tutelage of a different offensive line coach than the one that's been here with so much success for the last 30 years, essentially. Paul Perillo joining me. I'm Andy Hart, and we look at the offensive line group, and it always begins and ends early in the draft with the tackles. Last year was a year where there were some really high-level guards, but once again this year we're back to tackles dominating the early part of the draft.
Handful of top teners, right?
Potentially, and as many as five first-round talents, according to our friends over at NFLDraftScout.com. That group would include a couple guys vying potentially to be top 3 to 5 picks. Jake Matthews. Yes, the famous Matthews family is back. Clay, Bruce. This is Bruce's son, but they're all part of that football legacy, Hall of Fame talents.
Yeah.
And Jake Matthews living up to the family name. Out of Texas A&M, protected the blind side and had to block a little bit longer for
all
Johnny
sides.
Manziel.
Right? All sides of Johnny Manziel.
Because you never know when the blind side was becoming the front side and the back side and the strong side was the weak side. Greg Robinson out of Auburn is a guy that a lot of people really like. Taylor Lewin out of Michigan. The kid out of Alabama, Cyrus.
Kwanjo? Correct.
Good. Glad you could say it. I couldn't. And Zach Martin out of Notre Dame are five guys that Draft Scout has potentially going in the first round. I'm going to start it off, Paul, and say I loved Jake Matthews. I think he is the premier tackle talent in this draft. I know a lot of people think that Robinson has the greater upside, and it's not Greg Robinson Randall, who was once a Patriot. This is a different guy. It's not like he dropped the Randall and snuck back into the NCAA a few years later.
Great story.
But I like everything about Matthews. You know, he started forever, like 40 blah, blah, blah starts. He can long snap if you need him to, if you want him to play two roles. But just, he looks like a Patriot tackle.
Pick.
He looks like that build, you know, that leader, Nate Solder.
He has the look. No question.
And I think he has good feet. I think he has enough power, although I still say that's his weakness, which, if you remember, that was my concern about Solder, and I still think Solder's weakness at times is he can be bent over and loses a little bit of his power and his strength and his base there. But I think he is Jake Matthews is what I would say is a modern pass protector in a passing league. So to me, if you're looking for that, boom, lay it up.
With the bloodlines, too. And I know that that doesn't always translate, and you never know, but this is a guy, Bruce Matthews, with his brother Clay. They've produced good, solid NFL players. They understand what it takes to play in the league. I think this is as safe a pick as you could make.
Yeah, I don't like Robinson as much as most. I think he puts his head down too often on blocks and doesn't have the lean fundamentals that I think Matthews has. To me, he looks like a guy who could end up as a guard at some point, even though he has the 6'5 height. At 330 pounds, he looks a little thicker to me. He looks like a little bit more of a guard. I wouldn't be stunned if that happens down the road, although he certainly is a talented tackle at this point. Taylor Lewin, another 48 starts, 6'7", massive size up there. He's also that modern look where he's a little bit leaner. He had a few minor off-field issues, a lot of penalties. He's a guy that plays with a little bit of an edge, but I really like his numbers, athletically at the combine were very impressive. And, he's very smooth in what I call mirror. When that defensive end is moving left and right, he just seems to smoothly mirror back and forth with him and not get off balance, not get overextended.
Yeah, now there's definitely some talent in the tackles. Unfortunately for the Patriots, we're probably not going to be in the tackle market.
No.
You know, you have Solder and a healthy Vollmer coming back. You got some experience last year for a guy like Marcus Cannon to play right tackle. He played, almost half the year at
yep.
right tackle and really without major incident. I'm not sure that they'd be interested in the tackle, but when you move inside a little bit,
are you telling me we're done with tackles?
I think that the urgency picks up a little bit.
And I was trying to get to talk about the rest of the tackles. I want to mention.
All right. Well, why don't you mention another tackle?
I just have to mention one more tackle I'll mention because I actually gave some pretty high up arrows to some guys in the mid rounds. And you know, I don't always give out up arrows to guys. Antonio Richardson had one of my favorite highlights of the year. 6'6", 336-pound guy out of Tennessee. If you remember at the combine, Bill was just amazed at the Tennessee offensive line.
I do remember
that. Four of the five were there, and the fifth easily could have been there, right. Blah, blah, blah. Right.
And I also remember the guy sitting next to us from Tennessee who said, we didn't really have a very good offensive line.
Well, just the one highlight, he absolutely pancaked Jadeveon Clowney. Picked him up, got under his pads, literally picked him up and threw him to the ground like a rag doll. And for whatever it's worth, I'm not saying he's a better player, he's an elite tackle, anything of that nature, but to take a guy who people say is a generational talent and could be the number one overall pick and toss him around like a rag doll, I enjoyed that. Morgan Moses out of Virginia, 6'6", 314, liked him. He got the old up arrow from Andy Hart. And a lower round guy, Justin Britt out of Missouri. Nothing stands out, but looks like a solid, lean, long Patriots-type tackle that they would develop as a potential sixth or seventh-round pick.
I'm pretty sure he wasn't because I thought I remembered looking it up. But any relation to the Brits that we've had?
No.
The Brit that we
he
had?
Is related to some Brits, but not ours.
That's how I said the one that we had.
Wesley. Moving on to guard, right, because I know you were so eager to move to the interior offensive line, Paul. That is your forte. You like to really break down those positions
not answering my
each and every year on tape as we go through this process.
Haven't seen a one.
I really like David Yankee out of Stanford, the Yankee Doodle Dandy.
No more Yankee.
And he played tackle in college at times, but is a guy that they project as a what I would call an oversized guard at 6'6".
Stanford is starting to turn into one of those offensive line factories.
God, yeah.
They've put out a lot of good offensive linemen and Jonathan Martin as well.
Right.
But they've been sending a lot of offensive linemen. That's the way they play. They have a very ground-oriented offense there. Even when Andrew Luck was there, it was sort of a kind of a grind it out.
Well, it's an old
they
school.
Let him...
It's a, you know, NFL 30 years ago type place.
Yeah, and they've had a lot of success
with
it.
It's a pro-style offense if the pro part is 30 years ago.
Right. So these offensive linemen like Yankee coming out of that program have had some success.
Ironically, Yankee was born in Australia. See what I did there?
Yeah.
40 starts, two-time All-American, which is obviously well-rounded. Ghost. I would say not elite, but I think he's going to be a very solid starting guard in the NFL. The guy who may be the top guard prospect, Xavier Suafilo. Is that how you say it?
Sounds good to me.
Out of UCLA, very impressive combine. A little older. He's one of them Mormons that had some missions, so he's like 23, 24 years old. Pulls and moves well. Ironically, he doesn't have elite power. He's not a real massive guard. He's barely over 300 pounds at 6'4" and change. But just well-rounded and really he played some tackle, but I think he's going to be a really athletic guard.
Yeah, and because of that last thing, Andy, you'll be excited about this. And I know we talked about it when we got back from the combine on PFW in Progress. He was one of several guys that talked glowingly about trying to pattern himself after Logan Mankins. And it was him. It was the Betonio kid, Joel Betonio from Nevada. And John Urschel from Penn State.
Not Urschel Walker. John
guys
Urschel.
That had some experience playing tackle that project to guard in the NFL, and they all loved the nastiness of Logan Mankins. And that's something, I think that if you're looking to make a transition, that there'd be a lot worse guys. I don't know exactly where he's from, but
he's a Mormon.
Yeah.
Suafilo. Sounds like a Samoan.
I don't know exactly where he's from, but
play
yes.
Guard for me any day. Couple second-round type prospects, or at least one, Gabe Jackson, Mississippi State, I thought was just okay. Cyril Richardson out of Baylor, big dude.
What did you think of Chris Watt?
You know what? I was getting to him. I got him up arrow. I liked him a lot, Paul. 6'3", 210, good wide low base.
Going to guess he was bigger than 210?
I mean 310,
okay.
Sorry. You know what I mean.
Why are you
going to be a nitpicker?
Be an awfully small guard.
See, that's an example we talked about on PFW in Progress. He could be the best guard in the world, best guard ever. If he was 210, I don't feel like I could draft him in the first round because he lacks the measurables. Sometimes you got to fill the measurables out, Paul Perillo.
Couldn't be the best guard ever at 210.
Chris Watt, I didn't really love the fact that he didn't really latch on well. I like my guards that get into guys and just throw them to the turf and never let go. He didn't always finish his plate. You asked me.
I know. I said, I'm sorry.
Average power, but I think he's a pretty good player. A couple other guys I liked. Anthony Steen. Where did he go, Paul?
Anthony Steen?
Alabama.
Oh, yeah. No, I knew that.
The Steen Roller.
I believe.
Didn't they call him the Steen Roller? Because that's good. I just made that up on the fly.
Yeah. No, I actually knew that. And Dakota Dozier from Furman, right?
A three-year starter, right guard. You know, obviously we have the pipeline, but 6'3", 314 pounds, 314 pounds, Paul. Good feet. I like his technique. Strong enough, and even though he doesn't have that elite size and power you might look for. One guy to keep an eye on, Paul. What's the key word here in New England? Value. Brendan Thomas, Clemson. Tore his ACL. I believe he actually had surgery today or yesterday. Was a guy who was thought of as a second-round prospect until he tore his ACL in workouts here. Reminds me a lot of one, Marcus Cannon, who was supposedly a second-round prospect until he dealt with the cancer issue. So if you get Brendan Thomas, a second-round guard in the sixth or seventh round,
yeah,
smells a lot like a Patriots pick.
Yeah,
and it's an ACL. It's a traditional injury.
Well, it just happens is the only difference. But that's something the Patriots have done a lot in the past.
And one more guy that I kind of liked, another Tennessee Volunteer, although he was under scholarship.
They were all there.
Zach Fulton, three-year right guard starter. I liked his power, decent athlete, not overly quick, but he can get to the next level, and I think he's a pretty good guard prospect as a potential undrafted rookie. But I would continue to say Brendan Thomas. If somebody takes that chance on the ACL, you're looking down the road, maybe it replaces a Dan Conley. If you get into a Mankins contract issue next year, who knows? You got a second-round talent at guard to pencil right in. Finally, we'll move on to the center position, Paul Perillo.
Oh, we're going to do your, I thought we were going to finally move on to ending this podcast.
The offensive line. We started at tackle. Moved into guard.
If you don't think
last spot.
If you think that I don't think guards are important, what do you think I think of centers?
Not very much. No first-round talents. We know over the years there's not a lot. It's sort of rare that there are first-round talents. You know, a guy like Nick Mangold comes along every once in a while that really wows you,
pouncy.
But for the most part, it's usually a second or a third-round type position, even for the best guys. Weston Richburg out of Colorado State, 49 starts. I like him. He pulls a lot, undersized, under 300
got some
bills.
Ties to the Patriots in terms of
you want to explain those?
Visits and whatnot? No, I mean, we've been expressing interest in him.
Yes.
Had visit. Did we visit him or did he visit us?
I don't know. The first I've heard of it. 49 starts.
Oh, sorry, mister. I know everything there is to know. Might not want to look in to see if there's any Patriot connection on a Patriots podcast.
Quicker.
And there you have a little animosity.
He's quicker than Travis Swanson, who some people thought was the number one center coming into the draft process.
According to the rankings you gave me,
he's fallen a little bit now. He's now considered a third round pick, but he did have 50 career starts, captain at Arkansas. I didn't think he was overly quick. I didn't think he was a great athlete. I think he's a decent player, but not great. I like how he finishes his blocks, but I think some other things. Richburg is a better player, certainly quicker. Brian Stork out of Florida State, considered a fourth-round prospect. Interesting.
He'll deliver.
Played right, left guard, and center. I see what you did there. He won the Remington Trophy, and we know what that means.
It means he was like Dave Remington.
Remember, we also had that guy a few years ago. Was it Larson or one of those guys
Ted
won the Remington?
Larson?
Was he the guy we drafted out of NC State?
Yes.
Yeah, he won the Remington.
He's still in the league.
Yes.
Starting for Tampa Bay the last time.
A guy I like as a late prospect out of Florida, Jonathan Harrison, seventh or an FA, played some guard, pretty quick, good power, keeps his legs moving, can pull and finish. I like what I saw from him, and we know we've had so much success with Florida prospects, we might as well type into that pool.
Type right into it.
Type your mother. And James Stone, in case you're wondering, was one of those Tennessee Volunteers that Bill seems to like so much. Interesting story here. I don't know what it means at all or if it would really be functional in the National Football League. When he snaps for shotgun, he snaps left-handed. When the quarterback is under center, he snaps right-handed.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. I don't know if that... So if he comes to the line of scrimmage and the guy is under center, but he's got his left hand on the ball, you know he's probably going to pull out and actually end up in the shotgun. Don't you think that's weird that he snaps with two
different
hands?
I think it's weird. I'm wondering if maybe he's lefty. He's lefty dominant, so he needs the shotgun snap
for a little power
with the left hand. But the quarterback likes the ball a certain way, so he snaps right-handed for the quarterback. I didn't
really love him, by the way.
Off the top
he got
of
a man.
So you, and, you just brought that
not
up.
Not overly powerful. He was a four-year starter, heavy legs, not overly aggressive or fluid. But I was just intrigued by the fact that he snapped with both hands.
Okay.
He's ambisnapterous. For Paul Perillo, this is Andy Hart. We've gone over the guards, the tackles, and even the centers, even though Paul didn't want to. Patriots, if they look to the offensive line on draft weekend, would appear to be that guard and center would be the greater need. Interior, I'm going with Brandon Thomas, the kid out of Clemson with the ACL, as a late round developmental guard. When he's healthy, he'd be in the mix next year. But who knows? Maybe they go higher, maybe they go better.
Not you.
Nor you. That's Paul Perillo. I'm Andy Hart. We know nothing, but we'll be back here again on Wednesday with another Patriots.com prospect review, where we preview all the various players for May 8th, 9th, and 10th in the draft. Peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.